Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl,
moderator is Overseer Janice Ward. I am so delighted to be able to come back across these airways and skyways once again, bringing unto you the divine word of truth as I know it to be. I hope and I pray that all is well in your family circle. Hope and pray that all of you that had a desire to go out to your desired place of worship, mass, and wherever you went, I just hope and pray, and I believe that God met you there. But for those of you that wasn't able to get out and go to the designated place of worship, I want to extend a hearty welcome, and I want to roll out the mat for you on this evening. I want you to know that you can come, hallelujah, as you are, in your work wear or in your leisure wear. You can just come and sit at your own private domain, hallelujah, and allow me to minister the divine word of truth unto your heart and soul on this evening. And so what we're going to do, we're going to go right now, right briefly, we're going to go into prayer. And we want to pray for those, hallelujah, I think in the state of Maryland, I believe that's where I've seen that, right now is in a state of emergency. So we're asking all prayer warriors to pray with me. We're going to touch and agree with that God, hallelujah, will move those individuals, hallelujah, to higher ground and bless them to find safety. And so we just want to extend prayer to them and anyone else around the world, hallelujah, that are in need of prayer. We want to pray for those of you that have lost loved ones, may it be your spouse, might be it your aunt, your uncle, grandparents, your health provider, your insurance man, your orthodontic, hallelujah, and the list just goes on. And we just want to pray with you and for you in your hour of despair. We want you to know that you are not alone. You might say, Overseer Ward, I am alone. I'm alone in the hospital room. I'm alone at your mortuary. I'm alone in my room. I'm alone in my office. But wherever you might be alone bodily. But on a spiritual note, you're not alone. God has designated men and women, young and in betwixt, that are praying around the world, hallelujah, that God will restore your joy and restore, hallelujah, happiness and restoration unto your soul. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty marvelous name. And let the temple of God, his congressional assembly, say amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to move on into second gear. We're going to go into our opening prayer. Each time we come across these airways and skyways, we fail not to acknowledge our Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ is his identity. Hallelujah. He's Jesus of Nazareth, yet born in Bethlehem over 2,000 light years ago. Jesus is the reason that you and I are He's the reason that you and I exist on this evening. So we're going to give God all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise that are due unto him. So I'm asking those of you that is listening in my live. This is a live. This is not a pre-recording. But this is a live praise and worship digital church experience. This is a church. This is not a model brick and mortar building, but this is a virtual live praise and worship digital church experience. So we're going to go down in prayer and acknowledge God at this time. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured, God. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for allowing us to assemble together, God, in unity once again around the spectrum, God. Father God, you said when you went away that you went to prepare a place for us. And upon your return, God, you will receive us unto yourself. You said you've gone to prepare a place. So we know that when you come back, God, you're coming back at a church without spot or wrinkle. You're coming back at the bridegroom, hallelujah. And that is the church. So God, until that time is upon us, we will continue in your will and in your way. We will continue moving upward and onward. We will continue to mount up from the four corners of this earth, God, starting from the north, south, east, and west, as pilgrims traveling through this barren land. I'm asking you on this evening, God, to anoint these lips of clay. Able me, God, to bring a rhema word to those that may then again may not know of you, God, in the pardons of their iniquity. Grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement and words of wisdom to each and every one that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their very heart and soul. Father God, we'll be so mindful to give your name the glory, honor, and praise. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' marvelous name. And again, let the people of God say amen and amen. All right, I'm going to be with you a little over an hour, and I'm going to include your hymns of Zion. So I just want to, right now, take you on into a service that's already in progression. I have the chat room. Is available for your sitting and your listening pleasure. I want to welcome all of you to the Old Ship of Zion. I want to welcome my guest. I want to welcome the Kingdom Assembly of God. I want to welcome my first-time listeners. I want to welcome my business colleagues. I want to welcome Kinship Family. And all of you, under the sound of my voice, thank you for coming, and may God richly bless you. If Reverend Dr. Doris Dorsey is in our audience on tonight, thank you, dear heart, and may God bless you beyond comprehension. Just know that Jesus loves you, number one, and I love you, number two. Thank you, and may God richly bless you. And I want to worship each and every one in my listening audience. Hallelujah. Just I don't know how to even present it, but I just want to wish you a hearty Memorial Day. I know some of you might be celebrating right now, but I just want to the devil is a lie, he's trying to take and tangle up my tongue, but he's a lie and the father of lies. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We want to just put prayer over those that are right in by air, land, or sea. We know that God is going to place his angelic angels camped all round about you. Safe travel and safe return. These and other blessings we ask in Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. All right, so now we're going to go and dig on into the word, because I know that time is of an essence. I know that you might be wanting to get in the bed. Those of you that, you know, are early bed goers, I should be, but because of my sleep deficiency, I tend to stay up sometime 2 or 3 days before I can go to sleep. But God is watching over me, you know. I know this heart has to lay down, has to get its proper rest. But I know that in betwixt that time, that God is keeping you and I and us. He's keeping us in his shield of protection. So I just want each of you, hallelujah, a just fantastic Memorial extended weekend. Hallelujah. All right, so we're going to go on into a word. A sermon on this evening entitled, Volume 2, is entitled, Hidden Problems and Hidden Faith. I want to say that one more time. A sermon on this evening entitled, Hidden Problems and Hidden Faith, Volume 2. The Bible tells us, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of Romans 10:9. And I want to ask you a question on tonight. Don't we all hate to be interrupted? According to a well-circulated story of Rudolf Churchill, was talking to his father when Sir Winston interrupted him, and he said again, only to receive the reply, don't interrupt me when I'm interrupting. We find out that Jairus must have felt similar or not with a certain woman who came to Jesus with a hidden problem. Especially since Jairus, Jairus' little girl was just only barely alive, and he needed Christ's immediate help. Yet this woman drew Jesus' attention away from Jairus and interrupted the petition of this ruler of the synagogue. We find that the woman's story in Luke 8:41-48, hallelujah, said that, and behold, there came a man named Jairus. He was ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet, begged him to come to his house, for he had only a daughter about 12 years of age. She was dying. But as he went, the multitude thronged him. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 long years, who had spent all of her livelihood on physicians. She could not be healed by any. Hallelujah, she came from behind and touched the border of his garment. The Bible says, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, Master, the multitude throng you and press you, and you say, who touched me? Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out of me. Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, daughter, be of good cheer, for your faith has made you well. Go in peace. We find out that Jesus was used to being interrupted. He saw each one as an opportunity instead of an intrusion. When Jesus was speaking in one crowded house, paralytic lowered through the roof to meet with him. While Jesus spoke to his disciples, a man interrupted and asked Jesus to speak to his brother about dividing their inheritance. There was another occasion when Jesus was asleep in the boat. The disciples awoke him fearful that the storm had arisen would wreck them all. Even when Jesus was praying, the disciples interrupted him, saying that everyone was looking for him. Only days before Christ's crucifixion, while on his way to Jerusalem, he was interrupted by a blind Bartimaeus who shouted out for help and healing. The Bible tells us that haste is a characteristic of people with limited power. Man-made priorities. Jesus, who followed a divine timetable, made man's priority. Jesus, who followed the divine timetable, hallelujah, and had limitless resources, took each interruption as an opportunity to serve and to teach. Christ came for people with need, and Jairus was an important person. He was a man of influence who commanded respect, yet who fell at Jesus' feet when his daughter became ill. Jairus begged Jesus to come with him. The request was urgent. No time could be wasted. But it was at such a desperate moment that Jesus allowed a woman to interrupt. Later we read that Jesus' delay was followed, hallelujah, by a double blessing. For Jairus' plea for his daughter's healing were also answered. You can go into the law of Luke 8 and 49 through 56. We're talking about hidden problems and hidden faith. How many of you that's listening in my live praise and worship digital church experience on this evening, you have hidden problems that you haven't told anybody about? You also have hidden faith. But God is looking for a few good believers on this evening. You don't have to have a lot of faith. God said just a side of a mustard seed is all is required. So we find out that the poor lady in the passage above had suffered from a chronic flow of blood for 12 long years. She probably felt weak, hallelujah, at the time, since she had bruised herself in visiting every doctor available and paying dearly for their service. She had lost both her health and her wealth. Even worse, with this particular illness, she was unfit for physical intimacy. She was also ceremonially unclean. And we know that, furthermore, there seems no hope or sign of healing or cure. In so many ways, this lady is like most of us. We have a hidden problem affecting our social and spiritual and physical emotions. Our well-being lies in everyone. The deadly plague of sin. We have suffered the deliberating inroads of sin longer than the woman. Hallelujah. And so the Bible tells us that human effort, no matter how vigilant, is pitiful, inadequate for preoccupying forgiveness of sin over evil. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. He rushed from the scene rejoicing, not in his own effort, but in the finished work of Christ. The scriptures tell us that for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not works, lest anyone should boast. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Ephesians 2 and 8 through 9. Likewise, it was only when the woman was at the end of her rope, had exhausted her own effort, that she came with her hidden problem to Jesus. I want to ask someone that's out there in my live praise and worship experience on this evening, have you exhausted all of your money, all of your wealth, seeing doctor after doctor with no cure? I want to offer the great physician Jesus unto you on this evening. God tell us, he said, by my 39 stripes, ye are healed. We know that God tell us, he said, that we can be healed. It doesn't matter what the doctor diagnoses are. We know we have the great physician, and his name is Jesus. And through him, you and I, us, can be healed. It's in your tongue. You can name it and claim it. You can speak life, or you can speak a curse. But it all is in the tongue. You just have to have a mustard-sized seed of faith. It's all God is requiring of you and I and us. A mustard-sized seed of faith. And so Christ visited the wedding feast in Canaan. And at a funeral, we are consoled by immortal words of Christ. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. So no wonder so many people feel that simply being born in a Christian country into a church-going family is sufficient to make them a Christian. And so we know that Christianity does not necessarily bring about a personal relationship with Christ just because your mother is a family member of a church. Your father is a church member. Maybe your grandparents is a church member. The Bible says that you have to come at the door. And if you come any other way, that you come as a thief and a robber. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. So we know that Christ is vital if we are to know him in a saving way. There must be that touch with the thing of faith. We know that Jesus himself touched many folks. He touched the leper, the dumb man, Peter's mother-in-law, the servant whose ear had been cut off. But on this occasion, it was the person in need who reached out and made contact with God. We know that this touch affected both Jesus and the woman, as he felt power going out of her. She was immediately healed. And if the crowd had noticed this, they would have been angry, because we know that religious people would have criticized her actions, since her unclean state could have contaminated another simply by touch. But her inner faith in the Lord had given her immediate cure. Yet she did not want to be seen by anyone. Her faith had been as hidden as her problem. But when she touched Christ, she found that neither was hidden after all. Because we find out that Jesus has the power to heal. God knows all the details of yours and mine and our lives. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your holy name. In museums, I've often seen plates and pictures inscribed with the word, Thou God, seest me. These biblical words are both a comfort and a challenge. God knows the thoughts and the actions of the secret recess of our minds and bodies. Our problems are never hidden from him. There was nothing particular mystery about the hem or the border of Jesus' garment. But there is plenty of symbolic present here. Notice that the hem of the garment is the finished part. On the cross, Jesus triumphantly cried out, it is finished. He had accomplished a great work of paying for the world's sin. He had been born to die. The complete hem signified the finished work of Christ on the cross. We find out that the purest part is a needle, purest a garment to turn and to hold up the hem. This reminds you and I and us that the crucified Christ was purest. Crown of thorns was wedged in his brow. Rough and rugged, Roman nails pierced his hands and feet. eventually a sword pierced Christ's side. However, the cross will never be understood without grasping its hidden worth. The fact that our sins pierced the very soul of Jesus. Sin has always been abhorrent to God. The pure and the holy Son of God hates sin. On the cross, God took the sin that we have forgotten and those we wish we could forget. The sins of the past, the present, and the future. The sins we love and those for which we hate ourselves. Laid them all on the Lord Jesus. How this hurt. Like a dagger, sin pierces his heart and soul. He would have recoiled from sin. But love held him there. As sin battered and bruised the clean-minded, prayerly spoken, and holy life of Christ. The vital part, Jesus, as a hymn is vital to a garment's wholeness, so is the cross of Christ to our Jesus. He spoke of the hour to come when the world would know that he is the Son of God and that he would have to die. Such a vital was that death that the Apostle Paul wrote, "For I'm determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." That scripture reading is coming out of the law of 1 Corinthians 2 and 2. What is your view of Christ and the importance of the cross? Your answer will reveal your standing before God and your eternal destiny. We find out that the part touched only by bending. Stooping as she made her way to Christ, this woman pictured the humble, burdened attitude of those who trust the Savior. Hallelujah! Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. And we find out the only thing we contribute to our salvation is a load of sin. It's only when we realize that our state is desperate that we can come in submission to Jesus, pleading forgiveness from the one who delights to pardon and cleanse. Arrogant and pride have no place in the individual who would willingly bow our heart and head before the mighty King Jesus, who was willingly and crushed by our sins. Jesus said to the woman, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." We know that such blessings were bestowed, although she had come to him with selfish motive. All she wanted was healing. There is no hint of devotion to Jesus or desire to make his name known to others. For so many who come to Christ, we know that the dominant motivation may initially not be altogether worthy. The drunkard simply want to be sober. The lonely husband needs a new start in his family. The sinner wants to avoid spending eternity in hell. So they turn to Christ. Is that wrong? I do not think so. We know that a newborn baby is a bundle of constant need. It grows hungry or thirsty or dirty. And so it cries. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Hallelujah. It loves no one until that love is gradually awakened by the one who founds it and meets its need. At first, the baby cries are purely selfish. But in time, unselfish devotion shown by the parent become an example for the child, and in return, in full. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Our sermon on tonight, once again, entitled Hidden Problems and Hidden Faith, Volume 2. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. We know that a newborn Christian may not necessarily love the Savior at first. But as that believer learns to walk with Jesus Christ and cultivate the relationship, we find out that love for the Lord will strengthen and grow. God command you and I, us, to repent. And whatever our motives, our feelings, or our fear, all people everywhere need to obey that command and open their hearts to Christ. eventually his perfect love for each individual will draw a warm love by way of response. No problem is hidden to Christ, nor is a sincere faith. Christ wants this faith brought into the open. Just as when he turned to the crowd and asked, "Who touched me?" It was good for this woman as well as the people around her, hallelujah, because of her faith, hallelujah, her cure became known. Public confession of faith in the Lord Jesus is of great importance. Jesus said, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my word, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he come in his own glory in his Father and of the holy angels." And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of Luke 9:26. And we know that expressions deepen an impression. Secret discipleship is a contradiction of term. At first, everyone denies touching Christ's garment. But eventually, through trembling, the woman declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him. Christ brought her into the open because he himself offers an open door to salvation. We read of his work. This thing was not done in a corner. Going to the law of Acts 26:26, Jesus himself said, "I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple." That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Matthew 26:55. We find out that Christ's birth was open. The angels announced the event to the shepherd, and a star led the wise men to leave their land and come to worship Christ Jesus. Teaching was open. Thousands heard him. There was nothing secret about what he said. Nor were there secret handshakes or ceremonies. His miracles were open and seen by many. Furthermore, Jesus was always available and ready to be questioned by the religious establishment for the common people to hear him. Even Christ's death was open for all to see. He was suspended between heaven and hell for all of earth to gaze on. Only in the actual moment when the sins of the world was laid on him did God cover the scene with darkness. After Christ rose from the grave, the stone was rolled away. Hallelujah, not to let Christ out, but to let the world look in. Having bodily risen, Jesus appeared to the woman, the two men walking on the road to Emmaus, the two and then 10 and then 11 disciples. Hallelujah, and as well as a crowd of over 500. He is the open Christ. Those who would truly come to the Savior must do so openly. So I'm saying unto you today, will you bring your hidden and your innermost needs and sin to Christ, who gave himself for you and I and us? Will you openly trust him and find for yourself that faith in him make you right with God? Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Our sermon has been on this evening, Hidden Problems and Hidden Faith, Volume 2. In ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to my nature, spirit, and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, have any prayer petitions you would want the old ship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence. God House of Deliverance Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. Hallelujah. This station has been Blog Talk Radio. Your program has been the Old Ship of Zion. So your correspondent, make them attentive too. Hallelujah. Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. Hallelujah. Until we meet again across these airways and skyways, you are encouraged to buckle up with Jesus at your will because he is people-friendly. Hallelujah. If you have any prayer petitions that you would want the old ship of Zion to touch and agree and go down in prayer, Hallelujah, that God will bring your prayer petition to fruition. Hallelujah, you are welcome to call in at this time. The lines are open. The number in which to call, hallelujah, is 646-230-74. Those numbers again are 646-230-74. You can call into the studio, call up prayer and request line, and speak to yours truly. And we're going to give you a few more minutes and wish to call in those of you that desire prayer. And if you don't want to come live, become live on the air, you can just place your hand on the radio. God heals right through the radio, right through your computer screen. It doesn't make any difference because we are praying by the power of faith. And we know that the power of faith can go through anything. Hallelujah. So you can just lay your hand there on the screen and just bow your head in prayer. And that God, hallelujah, will bring your fruition, hallelujah, about. And so we know that God is a miracle worker. God, say anything that you ask in my name, hallelujah, believe it and ye shall have it. Then God goes on a little further and say you can claim it. So you can name your healing. You can name your financial circumstances right now. You can say I'm no longer going to be zero balance in my bank account. I am going to have money from henceforth, and it will be done. According to your faith, God said, be it unto you. According to your faith. See, that's what makes God move on our behalf, is our faith. The Bible told the woman with the issue of blood, said, it wasn't my him that healed you, but it was your faith that heal you. So if you got a mustard size seed of faith, that's all that you need to get the job done, to get God moving in your behalf. It's just speak the word into your life. Speak healing into your life. The doctor might have given you a terminal illness and has stated that your faith will be 6 months. A year. But you can tell the doctor, thank you, doctor, but I know a doctor that's bigger than you. He's a great physician. And God said that by his 39 stripes, we are healed. Hallelujah. So you can claim life versus death. You claim life. So I'm healed. Lay your hands on your body and claim the victory in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So if there will not be any prayer petitions at this time, we're going to take you over to the second phase of our program, and that is Hymns of Zion. Encourage your heart and uplift your spirit. So I'm going to say once again, thank those of you that tuned in on this evening, and may God richly bless you. And I'm wishing each and every one a safe holiday, memorial holiday. And may God bless you is my prayer. So up next, Hymns of Zion. Till we meet again, you go in God and allow God to go in you. Bye for now. Up next, Hymns of Zion. Thank you.
Oh, tell me why. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Through many